Praise the Lord. Welcome out to the first night of the revival. Come to the well. If you really looked at that first song we sang, it tells you what you find at the well. If you looked at all the words that were running down, you'd find why you need to go to the well. Father, I thank you tonight and I praise you for all who came out to sit at your table, to be fed fresh manna from heaven, to receive all that you have for them, Father. And Father God, I'm asking you right now to complete the works that you started in each and every one of us tonight. Do a mighty works, Father. Meet the needs. Heal the sick, Father God. Do what you need to do, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God's mission in this revival, which is called Come to the Well, He would love for everyone to witness an encounter with the well. In these days, he wants us to everyone to encounter with the well. Jesus is the well of living waters. Come to the well and thirst no more is what Jesus says. And if we really come to the well, we won't be worried about what people are saying about us, what people are doing to us, what's going to come down the road tomorrow. We'll just be satisfied in Jesus Christ, and he'll meet every one of our needs, and we will truly thirst no more. Amen. Isaiah 12:1-6 says, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. First, let's talk about persevering, surviving, and thriving. The verse says, with joy you will drink water from the wells of salvation. And I've entitled this Wells of Salvation. With joy you will drink from the wells of salvation. Not with sorrow, not with begrudgingly, but with joy. And see, if you truly come and drink from the wells of salvation, you will have the joy down deep inside of you that the enemy will not be able to steal from you and the people will not be able to steal your joy. I didn't say you won't go through trials and tribulations, but he cannot steal your joy because you know that you're safe in the Father's arms and your joy will be full and it will be overflowing. This is a key to perseverance in the life of a child of God. One of the greatest enemies of salvation is a drying up of our spirit man. And if a child of God dries up, a lot of people go thirsty. To stay totally saturated with the Spirit of God, we must drink water from the wells of salvation every day. An electric cord should stay plugged into the socket, and a hose pipe should stay fastened to the faucet, and a tree should stay planted in the ground. If they're going to survive, they're going to persevere. And children of God should drink water at the wells of salvation daily. Their life depends on it and their ministry depends on it. If you have a ministry and you don't go to the wells every day, then your ministry is going to dry up. And every one of us in here have a ministry of some sort, even if it's just being an example to your co-workers. That's your ministry. But if you don't go to the well every day, even before you go to work, you're not going to be a witness to nobody. All right? We need that water from that well every single solitary day. And sometimes more than one time do we have to go and drink. And we have to drink deep. Excuse me. Let's meditate for a few minutes on the wells of salvation. Sometimes we think of salvation only as that moment when we come to faith in Christ and he saves us once and for all from our sin and guilt. It's not wrong to think about it this way. Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved. It is past, it is once and for all, But that is not all it is. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, to us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. So therefore, there it says we are being saved. Thank you, Brent. Salvation is a present work of God in our lives. It is going on now, not just in the past. And then Paul says in Romans 13:11, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. In other words, salvation is still in the future. We don't have it all yet. So it is past. We have been saved. And it is a present process. We are being saved. And it is future, for it is nearer now than when we first believe. Isn't that awesome? So your salvation is an ongoing thing. And this is why God told me one time, daughter, be careful, because you could lose your salvation at any given moment. And see, those who preach, you know, once saved, always saved, is not true. That is definitely against God's word. And if somebody's told you that and you're believing that, then you need to get that little notion out of your head, because that is not true according to the word of God. Already talks about many wells, not just one well. This is important for understanding the wells of salvation. If we didn't understand this, we might stumble over the fact that the word is plural. Isaiah says, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, not the well. If you are crossing a desert or passing through a wilderness, it won't do to have a well at the beginning and a well at the end. A well in Egypt and a well in the promised land. There have to be wells along the way. Otherwise, you will drop dead of thirst in the sand. Isn't that interesting? Come on. The wells of salvation are plural. They are as many as your days, and they are located everywhere you go. Jesus is everywhere, right? And no matter where you go, you can always kneel down or cry out and drink from that well. How can we say this? The reason for this is wonderfully simple and deep. God is your salvation, and your wells are the places and the times when you come to Him. All right, God is your salvation, and your wells are the places and the times when you come to Him, and there is no place and no time when He is not ready to meet you. There is no place and no time when God's not ready to meet you. This is what Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. God is your salvation, and the wells of salvation are the places and the times that you draw near to God and drink from the springs of His truth and power and love and glory. What do you think Jesus, why did He always depart and go to the hills to pray? He went to the well, and He drew from that well, and He got full, and He came back down and continued to minister. A lot of us keep thinking we can take one small drink and work on that all day long, and that doesn't work, because we are running into too many problems. There's too many big devils out there, and we need to drink and drink and drink and drink from those wells of salvation. There are as many wells in the child of God's wilderness as there are acts of willingness to seek God. If you make it your first priority to drink from the wells of salvation every day, you will never lose your way in the wilderness. God guides us by the wells of salvation. Wells, not bowls or buckets. And not only are there enough of them all along the way, you know, wells all along the way, but they will always have enough water to meet your need, even way beyond your need. If Isaiah had said, you will draw water from the bowls of salvation or from the buckets of salvation, we might wonder if they would be drunk dry. Would there be enough? And they would be. But wells aren't like that. A well is self-replenishing. You draw bucket after bucket, and there is still more water. So I was typing, oh, yeah, we have a well, but I also know that wells go dry. Natural wells go dry, and then you have to go and dig you another well. Amen? But God's well never runs dry. It's an ever-ending stream of living water. We don't have to worry about, oh, is it going to go dry one of these years? God's wells are full of water. They're full of our salvation, everything we need. That's the way the wells of salvation are, because that's the way God is. God is inexhaustible. And so the source of refreshment in a child of God's life, the source of persevering grace that enables you to give and give and give and give and give, will never run dry as long as you're constantly drinking from the well. Amen. You know, these songs were moving to me tonight. And as I sang them, I thought about how wonderful our God really is. You know, I love the song, What If? Because I know everybody in the body of Christ has what ifs in their life right now. I was reading a prophetic word today that's really awesome. And God said in that word, and he's told me this many times, I know it's been hard, but I'm with you. And even if he doesn't move that mountain, he's still moving mountains that we don't see. Amen. Our God is full of abundant grace, mercy, long-suffering, and he is there for us. The wells of salvation are deep enough and numerous enough to sustain you in ministry all the way through the wilderness. The wells of salvation are deep enough and numerous enough to sustain you in ministry all the way through the wilderness. In other words, every time you feel down, go to the well. Run to the well and drink some more. Be encouraged. Wherever God calls you, he digs wells for you. He is your salvation. He will be with you to the end of the age. Whatever your assignment, God's already dug that well for you, that you can run to that well and just keep drinking and go through your assignment. Amen. Now let's turn to the preaching of the child of God. What happens when you go to the wells of salvation? You're tired and thirsty and even desperate at times. What happens when you draw up the cool water and put your face in it? When we bow down before the Word of God and seek to get ourselves encouraged and refreshed and strengthened, God often opens wonderful truths to us from his Word. He gives us some new insight or some fresh angle on his glory or some deeper grasp of an old truth. And without us even realizing it, we find ourselves sharing this with others in a sermon or in a testimony or in some way. Amen. We don't come to the well seeking sermons and lessons, though. We come seeking life, hope, joy, strength, and wisdom to solve our problems. We don't come to the well seeking sermons and lessons. We come seeking life, hope, joy, strength, and wisdom to solve our problems. But there is something about this living water that as soon as it begins to meet our need, we feel like it would probably meet lots of people's needs. And before we know it, we are putting a sermon together, writing a book, putting on a blog, on a website, or doing something on Facebook or Twitter, whatever you do, you find yourself sharing that with somebody along the way. And you would be surprised, I have found out, how whenever you do little things like that, how many people it really does touch. Amen. Verses 3 and 4 says, With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, do you see it? When you draw up the water and drink, you will say, you will begin to speak. You will say something, because you'll be so full of that living water that you just have to share it. It has to, it's bubbling up and it has to come out and overflow into somebody else's life. There is something about this water that makes you a minister of the word. You will draw water from the wells of salvation and you will say. Notice three things. First, the preaching that springs up from drinking at the wells of salvation is missionary preaching, and we are all missionaries. Verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in the day, give, make known his deeds among the peoples. How many of you, that's why some of you get so gung-ho, you just think you just have to talk and talk and talk and talk and prophesy and prophesy and prophesy because you've been to the well. And you're full of that living water, and it just keeps bubbling up and bubbling up, and you just have to share it with somebody. Amen? If you don't, you think you're going to drown in that living water, right? Or your it might burst at the seams. There is something deeply wrong when a person drinks at the wells of salvation for himself, day in and day out, and never feels an impulse to make known the deeds of God among the peoples of the earth. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, not states, but peoples, and then the end will come. Everybody has to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ before the end comes. Nobody's going to be able to stand before God and say, I never heard about this Jesus. I have noticed along my walk with God that God always makes a way for everybody to hear the gospel. But what they do with the gospel is totally up to them. But they can't stand before God and say, I didn't know about this. Amen. So this tells us that the Great Commission is finishable. We need to take, so what we said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, not states, but peoples, and then the end will come. So this tells us that the Great Commission is finishable. We will reach all peoples, is what I'm trying to say here. We need to take heed to what Isaiah says here. When we drink from the wells of salvation, we will make known his deeds among the peoples. We will finish the Great Commission, reach every unreached people group. That doesn't mean you have to get on an airplane and fly across the world. That means the United States needs missionaries in it. God told me one time, he said, I need to raise up missionaries right here in the United States because the United States needs missionaries more than they do overseas. But everybody thinks they have to get on a plane and go overseas and preach the gospel. Why not just preach the gospel where God has planted you? Right here. Come on. Why do you think the United States is in the mess it's in? Because the missionaries all wanted to go overseas where the money was at, let's be honest about it, and where they became real popular and everything, and nobody wanted to be a missionary here in the United States. God told me that. That's why I'm telling you. He told me that years ago. Second, the preaching that springs up from drinking at the wells of salvation is God-exalting preaching. It won't be your flesh, but it'll be the Spirit of God speaking through you. Those who drink will say according to verse 4, in that day give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Remember, you are drinking at the wells of salvation. And remember, God is our salvation. Therefore, what you are drinking in when you go to the wells of salvation is God. All right, not more yourself, it is God. Whether we go to the well for strength of hope or peace or comfort or joy or cleansing, what we are really going for is God. If we know what we really need, we talk like David in Psalm 42. As a hart, that's a deer, longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The problem with the church and the reason why the church is messed up is because they do not thirst for the living God. They just go to church. And if you read, I think it was today, the word for the day that God gave me, he's done with the church. Totally done with the church. He gave you plenty of time to get it together. You didn't. And now he's going to minister to the world. And when we discover at the well of salvation that all we need and all we want is God, when we discover that all we need and all we want is God, then something happens to our preaching. We find a voice in our soul crying again and again, proclaim that his name is exalted. Proclaim that his name is exalted. And all these songs tonight, we're proclaiming the name of Jesus and his wondrous ways. If he is our vision and our portion and our treasure and our refuge and our truth and hope and joy when we drink at the well of salvation, then it is inevitable that when we open our mouths to preach, we will say again and again, be exalted, O God, be exalted, O God, exalt the Lord, O you his people, exalt the Lord, O you peoples of the earth. That's a scripture. We will always be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and not ourselves. Or not the big house you have, or all the airplanes you have, or all the millions you might have in the bank, or all your big cars. You won't be exalting that. You'll be exalting God. It's because you've been to the well. And when people talk about you and put you down, you won't get all bent out of shape because you've been to the well and you're satisfied with what you drank. And it doesn't matter what people think about you, you're full of God. Amen? There is a very profound truth here. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Are you listening? I was talking to somebody at length last night, and they started crying. They said, "Don't you believe you deserve some happiness?" And I said, "God told me from day one, some were born for sorrow, and I was one that was born for sorrow. So I'm content in the state that I am in because God already told me where I should be." And I am content in that. And, you know, because I have to keep going to the well. I have to keep drinking at the well in order to stay content in that state, though. It just doesn't automatically drop on you. You have to keep drawing the fresh water from the well to go through the things that God's calling you forth to do. And then she said to me, "Well, what's your assignment?" And I looked at her and said, "I don't know, because all my assignments are finished." So I asked God, God, "What is my new assignment?" He said, "I'm going to use you now to preach the gospel to the lost." He said, "You're going to lead and you're going to teach the gospel to the lost that I'm going to send into the house of God." So we're being set up then to preach to no more to the church, but to the lost in a dying world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm using those who have been seasoned in the fire." And he said, "Come out and perfect it." So if you've been seasoned in the fire, and I hope you came out perfected, then it's because now is the time that God wants you to minister to the lost and the dying. My first 40 years were spent in the wilderness with the church. And I'm believing that now the next 40 will be with the lost and the dying, who are going to be like in Acts, whenever they got all excited and got saved. Multitudes got saved over and over again. Well, God said there'd be hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds being saved. So somebody said that tonight. So don't be discouraged at where you're at. Know that everything you went through was for this time and this season. And if you just sail through life and didn't have any problems, then don't worry, God's not going to use you. I didn't say you weren't going to go to heaven. I didn't say that. He's just not going to use you to save the lost souls because you never paid a price. You just sat in a chair. You praised Him with all your heart. You were really excited and exuberant, and all that's good. But you never suffered. You never really paid a great price as Jesus did. To minister to the lost and to the dying. Amen. How many of you know the world is in a total mess right now? We all know that, right? And the more things are uncovered, the worse the world is. And you know, the more shocked. We think we've got enough shock factor, but here comes something else and we have more shock, right? But do you know what? God is more than able. He is more than able to keep us in this dispensation. He is more than able to keep filling us up as we go to the well. And we are never going to run dry. Never. And if you feel like you're running dry, then you need to run to the well. You need to cry out to God with everything, every fiber of your being. And you need to get filled up all over again. Are you listening here tonight? All you who sit in this church, you've been sitting here being trained to be a leader that God can use to send forth and to minister to the lost, not to church, not to the Christian people, but the lost and the dying. You know, I remember when I used to go to the GLOW ministries, I always found out one thing. The church, Christian people came in and were really messed up. They really got words that said, "You need to get your act together." But the ones who somebody brought, you need to come and hear what God has to say. They got a good encouraging word, an uplifting word to encourage them to go ahead and receive Christ and go ahead and fulfill their calling. Amen. So I wasn't so excited how many Christians came, but I was excited when the lost came. Because there was exuberance in the air. The spirit was just flying high and God really touched people's lives. And the same way in here, I don't get excited when I see the same faces over and over again. I get excited when I see one new face because I know that God is going to do something great that night. And He's going to touch that one new face He's going to go down inside their soul. He's going to set a fire. We just might put a little spark in there that night, but you know, then God's going to send others to keep flaming that fire till they're on fire for God too. Amen. If truth be told, a pastor is really sick and tired of preaching to the same people over again and seeing them stay in the same sins over and over again. You know, a pastor gets excited when they see the people change. And, you know, and we just get on fire because finally something that sparked, somebody, that their little pile of wood in there got lit and now a flame is starting and they're going to be on fire for God. And all that chaff is going to be burned away. Amen. You can say that about your friends too, can't you? When you have a friend you're ministering to and you minister to them, they stay dumb, I call it. And then all of a sudden one day you see a little spark. You see them just sort of change a little tiny bit. You get all excited and you just can't hardly contain yourself because finally a fire is beginning and they're going to start changing. Amen? All right, the third thing when we go to the well as preachers. The preaching that springs up from drinking at the wells of salvation is worship-producing preaching. When you drink, Isaiah says in verse 5, you will say, sing praises to the Lord. In other words, you will not be content to just make God known. You will not be content to just tell people about him. Your aim will be to fill people with a song. You will call on them not just to know him, but to sing to him, to praise him. You'll tell the people, you just don't want to know God, but you want to sing to him, you want to praise him, you want to tell him how much you love him in song. I don't care if you can carry a tune or not. God doesn't care. He just wants to hear you sing. And he doesn't care what kind of note you hit. You will want people to feel something, not just know something. See, and this is why you can't dance. This is why you can't really rejoice, because you have never felt anything. You just know. But whenever you start feeling it deep inside, then there's a different story. Then you shout, and then you dance, and then you do whatever you do. But if you just know him, and you don't feel him, you won't be able to do that. Amen. I remember when I was in my house, even here, you know, I'd get up to minister and I'd say, God, no, because the Spirit hit me and I'd dance all over the place all by myself. Remember that? And then I just start dancing all over the place just like that. It was done and I'd start preaching again. And I would say, God, why do you keep, but now I wish he would do that. I'm sorry he didn't continue to do that. Amen. So if God hits you to dance, just get dancing. Don't say nothing. Don't tell him to stop. But just say, just keep it up, God. Just keep it up. Set my feet on fire. Amen. So if God hits you to make you dance, don't stop yourself. You can't stop yourself in the Spirit hitch anyhow. You know, just let him go ahead and use you any way he wants to move on you. All right, where am I at? Why? All right, so I said you will want people to feel something, not just know something. Why? Because this is what you go to the well of salvation for again and again. Your heart for God is dying of thirst, and you need a long drink from the well of salvation. The reason drinking at the well of salvation produces a passion to get others to praise God is because this is what we find at the well. If you don't have it in you, you can't put it out. Person I was talking to last night said, believe me, when I preach, I've already lived it, and I know what I'm saying, and I know my God is able. Amen. And see, if you don't know God is able, you can't preach it. And if you haven't been through the furnace, how are you going to encourage and come out on the other side as pure shining gold? How are you going to encourage anybody else to go ahead and go through their wilderness experiences? But we don't want to go through the wilderness. We want to go from point A to point Z. We want to miss all the in-between, which is a lot of junk, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. All right? We don't want to go through a lot of we don't want to go through that. But then God isn't going to use you either. I don't want to lose nothing. Well, then God isn't going to use you. Come on. You're going to lose something along the way. But God has promised he's going to restore what the palmer and the kangworm has stolen. Amen. All right, we don't come to the well merely to analyze the water, or discuss the water, or memorize the water. Oh, that's probably why I can't memorize the gospel. It's not why I go. It's because I'm empty, right? Or to memorize the water, we come mainly to taste the water. We come not just because we know the water is good for us. We come because we love the water. We crave the water. We enjoy the water. We savor the water. Amen. Therefore, the message we find welling up in us is not some impersonal, neutral, dispassionate lecture on a religious topic. The preaching is a passionate longing for others to taste and see that the Lord is good, and then love Him and crave Him and delight in Him, and then with utter reality praise with all their hearts. You know, this is the words of the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. So you don't want to be a blind leader. Just start saying, thank you, God, that I went through everything that you had me go through. And thank you, God, you were with me. And thank you, God, you brought me through it. Now I can be a minister of the gospel, speak the truth with compassion. You know, I always wanted to go to heaven, right? And for a visit, for a visit. I want to go there eventually, but I always wanted to go to heaven for a visit. Well, God took me to hell 3 times. And the reason why He took me to hell is because I did not have compassion for a drug addict. I didn't have compassion for a perverted person. And I didn't have compassion for fat people. So God took me to hell 3 times and showed me what all 3 types of people were going to go through if they ended up in hell. And I came back out of hell having compassion for everybody. I don't want anybody to go to hell. So if you're coming against somebody for what they've done, then be careful, because you might end up in hell. Not to stay there, but to be taught a lesson. And you really don't want to go there. He said to me, daughter, you don't need to go to heaven. You already know what heaven's all about. But you need to go to hell so you can see what they're going to go through if they don't get themselves together. Amen. But see, we don't want to do that. We don't want to suffer, do we? We don't want to go down to that dark, dingy, ugly-smelling place. We don't want that. We want to go to heaven where there's streets of gold and dancing and rejoicing and rah, rah, rah. And you know, and we don't need that. What we need is the good taste of what hell's all about ourselves, so that we can encourage others. You really don't want to go there. Amen. And I've encouraged a lot of people, you really don't want to go there. You really don't. Let me close with this point tonight. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. In other words, going out and ministering to people is not worship is. Missions exist because somewhere true worship doesn't. Missions is a means to creating worship in the hearts of those who have never drunk from the wells of salvation. That's what you're going out in highways and byways for, is to compel people to drink from the wells of living water. John 4:23-24 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And God's been doing that in here for a long time. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, certain people in this church will go out in the spirit every time we have praise and worship. That shows me they have drunk from the well. That shows me they've been to the well many times and they're full. And so whenever they start exalting Him, God just takes them over and He puts them out in the spirit and He takes them someplace. We don't know where He takes us, but He takes us someplace. And, you know, and if you can't get lost in the praise and worship, then you aren't at the well often enough. If you can't dance and jump and rejoice while doing praise and worship, you still have to, you have to go back and spend more time at the well. Amen. I just wish I didn't have little Isaiah to contend with during praise and worship, because, you know, if you notice, I put my hand up, he pulls my hand down. I would really love to get lost in the Spirit and let God take me where He used to take me. But you're unhindered. You don't have a baby sitting on your lap, pulling your arms down. You don't have Him trying to tell you about what the song's all about and arguing with you because whether gracefully broken. He said, this is I surrender. I said, no, it's not, honey. It's gracefully broken. He said, it is surrender. And I said, no, honey, it's gracefully. It is surrender. I surrender. It's I surrender. Sure enough, it's I surrender. I should have just said, okay, honey, it's I surrender. I forgot that was in there. But see, He knew it was there. And He said, I really like this song. And see, when I'm putting praise and worship together, guess what's on my lap? My little wart. He comes up, sits on my lap, and he tells me what songs he wants to hear, and he tells me what songs he thinks we should play. But that's okay. We get praise and worship, don't we? Sometimes it's a little late, but then that's okay. You girls are just going to have to learn to deal with that. All right. The Father is seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. See, I go to the well, so that doesn't bother me. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Little things like that don't annoy me. They don't bother me. It's just part of what's in the well. Patience, endurance, long-suffering. Amen. This is the ultimate meaning of missions, to bring about Christ's exalting worship in all the peoples of the world. But the source of all our perseverance and all and our preaching is the wells of salvation. The wonder of this water is that it makes you a preacher, a messenger with a missionary passion to see God exalted and to hear the praises of his name from all the peoples. So I said the wonder of this water, the water of salvation, the wells of salvation, is that it makes you a preacher, which is a messenger with a missionary passion to see God exalted and to hear the praises of his name from all the peoples. So tonight, I encourage every one of you to drink deep and to drink every day and keep on drinking worship. Amen. See, I get excited when I come here because I've spent hours trying to get praise and worship song together, and I've listened to song after song after song, but it's building my spirit man up, you know, and I'm just all excited, and then even when I go to bed and I lay there and sing the songs, I just study it all night trying to get a praise and worship song together. See what I'm saying here? So if you spend hours, you know, listening to music, trying to get a worship service together, but you haven't lost nothing. Because those wells of living water with that worship just keeps bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling up. And wherever you go, your well is full. It's a spring of refreshing water that others can drink from. Amen. Tonight, God wants you to come to the well and drink in salvation until you thirst no more. Now, you who are going to come out to this 5 or 6 days, whatever it is we're having this revival, God is having you come so he can make you a well that's going to spring forth fresh, clear water. Because he's getting you ready to minister to the lost and the dying. But he has to get you full of that living water first. The scripture said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. So if you don't go to the well, though, you know, like we're going to do here tonight, then you don't have any living waters down there. It used to be if people couldn't receive, I'd lay my hands in their stomach and I'd say, I break up the dam that's holding that river of living waters in there. I break it up right now in the name of Jesus. And it would be broken instantly. But lately that doesn't happen. Why? Because that thing, your praise is so dammed up, you know, so much junk against that it's hard to get through that hard, crusty surface. And this is why some of the things that the other ministers are going to minister to you with here, you know, I've told a couple what God wants them to minister on. If you're thinking tonight, he's showing you why you're ministering what you're going to minister. It's going to help the people be set free so that you can be vessels of honor that God can work through. Amen? Don't you want to be that vessel of honor? Don't you want to be so, wouldn't it be wonderful if you walk by somebody and say, you splashed water on me, you know, that you'd be so full it would flow over onto other people. I have the Holy Spirit. That's going to happen. People are actually, when you walk by, they're actually going to feel water on them. They're going to think you spilled water on them. Thank you, Jesus. Now, do you want to be a partaker of that? Then the well's up here. Come on out. God said tonight, God wants you to come to the well and drink in salvation till you thirst no more. The Holy Spirit is strong here right now. If you want to be a carrier of that well, that people are at, it's going to overflow and splash onto, literally splash onto other people, you need to be at the altar tonight.